Thank you for those good news stories. It's really good to encourage one another in our faith. It's true faith that inspires others and leads them to blessing. You know that? When you really speak out in faith and trust in God, it encourages others to do the same. Now we're going to look at this very interesting parable today about the shrewd manager. Now shrewd's an interesting word, isn't it? I had to look it up in a dictionary because in this parable that we looked at in Luke 16, it's kind of got negative connotations. You think it's a dishonest manager and he's shrewd and it's all very negative. But shrewd actually means having sharp judgment and being clever and astute and having a discerning awareness of what's needed in a situation. And I think that we all practice being shrewd as we played Monopoly last night, didn't we, Ella? So Ella and my two sons, we all sat down and got our shrewd out, planning ahead, trying to get others out the game, not letting them buy the full sets, getting as many hotels as we could. So we all learnt how to be shrewd. And I've been observing shrewdness this week, just, you know, so I could have something to say today. And the person who I know of, in my memory, of someone who's really shrewd, he was a property manager of a building company, and he was really shrewd in his dealings with others. He was always able to make everything turn around and turn out for his benefit, so it all turned out really well for him. But he was still generous with what he received, like all those trees that, you know, might have fallen off the back of a truck. He didn't keep them for himself, he actually gave them to others and made friends with his wealth, which was quite interesting. I'm not saying it's a good thing what he was doing at all, but I just when I think of shrewdness and probably actually more dishonesty when we think about that parable of the dishonest manager. So we'll look at that in a minute. And I think it's an amazing example that Jesus uses a shrewd, dishonest manager to teach his disciples. He's teaching his actual followers in this, using this story, which has left everyone really confused about what's going on and why does the master of that dishonest manager, why does he commend him for being shrewd? And then Jesus also commends him for being shrewd and says, you know, disciples, you should become shrewd like this guy, but not in worldly ways. And that's the key. He's going for eternal rewards. Be as shrewd for eternal rewards as that dishonest manager was for worldly wealth and worldly rewards. If we actually had that same comparative, it's a similar comparison like another story Jesus used with the unjust judge. And the unjust judge finally does a good thing. And then Jesus says, and if he did a good thing and he's that unjust, how much more so will your good heavenly father, a good judge, give you even more so? So it's a comparative parable in that respect. So if you want to follow along in your Bible, I'm looking at Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. So there was a rich man whose manager was wasting his possessions. Now, as the story goes, I've heard many people try and understand what's going on in this parable. Some say that he was just not paying attention to the funds that he was in charge of. He should have been working for the master in renegotiating debts and not letting any debts get outstanding and being written off as bad debts, which is what is assumed is happening here as the story goes along. So this dishonest manager was called into the master and told to give an account, get his accounts in order and come back and show the master what's going on in his books. It's like he's being audited, really, in comparison for our day. And so the manager goes off and puts the accounts in a bit of a different order. He calls in two of the debtors to the master and says, show me your debt. How much do you owe? And he says, 900 gallons of oil. And he goes, well, take it, you know, take a pen and write it down and change it quickly to 450. Halves his debt, just like that. Not very helpful, I don't think, to his master. But then he says to the next one, how much do you owe? And he goes, 2,000 bushels of wheat. He goes, take your bill, make it 800. And he just eliminates, you know, 20% of that debt. And usually, you know, any master would be probably a bit cross, saying, you know, you're actually robbing me. You're giving away my money. That's rightfully should be mine. But there is so much going on here. We don't actually know if it was an illegal interest applied that he's cut off. But most people say it was actually him taking a little bit of interest or something off that debt to actually make it payable. Now the debt was reduced, those who are in debt to the master actually have more capacity to be able to repay the debt. So the master is actually pleased with this dishonest manager's scheme. He says to him, He says, the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. Now, he's not being commended because he was being dishonest. He was being commended for being shrewd. And he says, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than the people of light. And that is so true, isn't it? I think worldly people who live for money and live for worldly wealth actually really focus on June 30. They want more income, a better bank balance than the year before. They don't want to be at a loss. And they work with dedication and commitment to having money and enjoying money and doing all the things that money can buy for them. And then Jesus says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it's gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. So just as this dishonest manager had been shrewd in his own self-interest, he actually cancelled those debts not just to annoy his master or to do the wrong thing or to be honest, but for his own selfish gain. His motive is in verse 3. The manager says to himself, what shall I do now? My master's going to take away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig. Or he really didn't want to, I don't think. You know, white collar, didn't want to get out and be a labourer and get dirty. He says, I'm too ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their homes. So he used his master's money to make friends for himself. He thought, if I do a favour for these debtors, when I'm out of a job here, I can actually go knock on their door and say, hey, can I stay here? You owe me. Remember, I did you a favour. And in that honour and shame culture, those debtors would be obliged. Even if they wanted to argue and said, no, well, you did the wrong thing, he could easily say, well, you went along with it and you're in it too. You're an accomplice and it's one witness against the other. But really, the way their culture worked is he did them a favour, now they owe him one. So he used his master's wealth, his ill-gotten gains, to make friends for himself so he had somewhere to live and work when his job was over. And now Jesus is saying, likewise, I want you to use worldly wealth and all the resources that you have in this world to actually ensure that you have eternal dwellings to go to, not when you lose your job here, but when your life is over, when you're called to account. Because on that day, the scriptures say, you know, we all face death once and after that, face judgment. Now, I'm not preaching that we have to use our money to earn salvation. You can't. Jesus is talking to his disciples here, remember, and the Pharisees are overhearing, they're listening. It says at the end of the parable that the Pharisees who loved money heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. And he said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts, and what people highly value is detestable in God's sight. So he's ideally talking to the disciples, telling them to act shrewdly. Use your finances to get eternal rewards. Now, Jesus does talk a lot about money. One in three parables have something about money in it, whether that's the main focus or not. And he has a lot to say about rewards. He says, when you do something kind for the least of these, great is your reward in heaven. Rewards, rewards, rewards. He often talks about that. So I'm not talking about earning salvation. He's talking to the already converted, the disciples, but he's saying great is your reward when you use your worldly resources for the kingdom of God, to advance the kingdom, to make friends for the kingdom of God, and great is your reward in heaven. You'll be welcomed into your eternal dwellings and receive your reward there. Now, this is the idea that Jesus wants them to get. He wants to say, you need to be shrewd with your resources, not for selfishness, but for his kingdom purposes. And you'll have eternal rewards. You'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings because you've worked and you've served. And this is relevant today because I know that we've all just taken account of our own lives and giving in our finances and returned our pledges saying, you know, I've just taken stock and this is what I'm committing to. And I want to be on about God's work in the world. I want to be shrewd and use my finances to win friends for God, to make a difference in the world for his kingdom purposes. And that's the life he rewards. And I'm encouraged that he says then in verse 10, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. And that's because it comes out of who we are. We give out of who we are. If we are faithful with a little bit, we'll be faithful with a lot because we are faithful people. And that's who you are. It's lived out. If you're unfaithful with a little bit, there's no way you're going to be faithful with a lot. So God rewards our faithfulness with giving us more to be responsible for. He entrusts more to us if we are faithful people because we know that he knows that we can be responsible with it and faithful. And he says, so if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with real riches? The way we handle our little bit, our money, which isn't really that important in the kingdom of God, how will he entrust true riches to us if we aren't faithful with our money? And if you haven't been trustworthy with someone else's property, like the dishonest manager, if we haven't been faithful with all God's entrusted to us, all that he's loaned to us and lent to us, who will give you property or responsibilities of your own? You can't serve two masters. Either you'll hate one and love the other, be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And so I do hope that today you are thanking God for his provision for you of all that he's given you generously in your bank accounts, in your finances, in your abilities, in your gifts, in your skills, in your family, and everything we are thankful for. And the response to that is giving back to God out of thankfulness, not out of a duty, not out of obligation, not out of fear or trembling, but out of love, as Ella said, out of love and wanting to give back because he has so generously given to us. So I say thank you to God for all he's provided for us to use for his ministry purposes through this place. And I thank you for all your giving, your faithful giving. May God continue to bring the increase and continue his faithfulness to you and to all of us through our ministry here. God bless you. I might close with a prayer. Lord Almighty God, thank you so much for all your generous provision for us. I pray that your Spirit moves in us to just even respond with generous thanks and praise for all that you've given to us. Help us to be faithful stewards of all these things. I pray that we can all be generous givers and not hoarders like those Pharisees, and that we can truly invest in your kingdom work, not just our own interests. I pray that we can truly invest in things that have eternal value and not in things that will pass away. We know that we have a reward far greater than anything we can give up in this life. And we thank you that you will receive us into our eternal dwelling someday, Lord, and we look forward to that time where we can come and share your happiness and rejoice with you forevermore. Amen.